more European countries try to calm the markets by banning short selling.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with Marketplace's continuing special coverage of the economic turmoil. Regulators in Belgium, France, Italy, and Spain today did something that typically only gets done in a market crisis. They banned short selling. In other words, they're trying to limit losses by limiting the ability of investors to make money on falling stocks. For more on this, let's bring in our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. He is live with us in London. Stephen, first of all, give us a little refresher on what short selling is.
Well, this is where speculators make money from falling stock prices. For example, they sell a share they don't own and then buy it back at a lower price and pocket the difference.
And why are these four European countries doing this, temporarily banning it?
Well, this is a direct response to the very sharp falls in share prices this week, especially bank shares. You recall what happened to the big French bank Société Générale.
Sure.
It fell by 20% at one point this week on rumours that the bank was in trouble and on rumours that the French government was going to be stripped of its AAA credit rating. Both rumours were vehemently denied. There was believed to be some short selling of bank shares at the time, so this ban, in the words of the Europe-wide regulatory body which is coordinating it, will restrict the benefits that can be achieved from spreading false rumours.
But it's not Europe-wide, right, Steve? It's just these four countries.
It's only four countries that agreed to the measure. The UK, which is a big player here, it has Europe's biggest financial centre, did not agree. Neither did the other 22 nations of the EU. And the US has made it clear that it won't be imposing a ban.
Stephen, stand by. I'm going to bring in Richard Hunter now. He is an analyst with Hargreaves Lansdown, an investment firm in London. Richard, from your experience, does a short sale ban like this work to calm the markets?
There is very little evidence that it does work. If anything, it has the outcome of creating a false market, because what you're potentially trying to do is to limit what is already downward pressure and downward market sentiment. So if we look back to 2008, when the US and the UK did try it on financials, the drop in financial share prices was simply spread over a longer period of time.
So why would regulators do something like this then?
Well, as we've just heard from Stephen, their thinking is quite simply that they are trying to limit the amount of profit that speculators could make. Set against that, of course, you have to ask the question that has the horse already bolted? But certainly in terms of historical experience, there's no strong evidence that short-selling bans are anything more than an effort to calm markets.
Richard, what does this tell you about the size of the crisis that we're in right now?
It's very indicative of the fact that we are in a period of great uncertainty. This is a global thing, of course, not just confined to Europe. It's also recognition that the two main concerns at the moment are those words of debt and growth. And those are the real issues rather than pinning down one particular sector.
Stephen Beard, let me go back to you quickly here. Are we seeing any immediate effects in the markets from this ban?
Not really. The big three European stock markets opened lower this morning, but then recovered, more likely as a result of the firmer tone on Wall Street than this very limited ban on short selling of bank shares.
Marketplace's European correspondent Stephen Beard and Richard Hunter of the trading firm Hargreaves Lansdowne in London. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Well, as Stephen said, stocks are up in overseas trading this morning, about 1.6% higher in London right now, 2.3% higher in Paris. Asian stocks traded higher as well today. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 423 points, about 4%, to close at 11,143. By the way, the S&P 500 has had alternating gains and losses of more than 4% for the last 4 days. That's the first time since the index started in 1928 that something like that has happened.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. And by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com.
We'll get earnings this morning from JCPenney, and the big question won't be how well the retailer did last quarter. It'll be how they're adjusting their outlook for the rest of the year to take into account what's going on in the economy right now. And Sally Herships reports from New York, that is a question all kinds of businesses are asking.
Over the next few days, major department store chains like Nordstrom, Sears, and Saks will report their earnings for the last quarter. But what everybody is really going to be listening for is what the retailers think the future looks like. Paul Swinand is an equity analyst with Morningstar.
What's been happening, though, is companies have said, hey, we haven't seen anything yet. We're cautious. We're maybe a little worried. But thus far, the consumer hasn't really responded.
Thus far, we haven't had a week like this on Wall Street. Still, Swinand says, most big department stores have been basing their expectations on a difficult economy for 2 years. He says retail chains at the low end, like Kohl's and JCPenney's, have already figured out how to sell in a down market. Swinand says they could see sales grow 2 to 4%.
Main Street hasn't really felt the recovery yet.
One segment of the retail economy that has been cushioned is luxury. Retail consultant Howard Davidovitz.
The top tier of Americans had a phenomenal last few years, and that's reflected itself in tremendous sales in Louis Vuitton, in Hermes, in jewelry stores, in Harry Winston, in Tiffany's.
You get the idea. And now it's these retailers who may have to lower their expectations. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. Our coverage continues online at marketplace.org and later today on Marketplace with Kai Rizdal. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Financial news changes by the very minute. Domestic and global markets are crazy.
China's not about to move away from buying U.S. treasuries.
The European Central Bank wading into the Spanish and Italian government bond market today.
The whole debt ceiling debate made us look dysfunctional. We all know that.
That's okay, though, because we're here. Marketplace. It's the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.